The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in the 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So, you've just recited the Shushogi, which many of us are very familiar with, and for some of us it may be new. And in case you don't know, it's a text based on Great Master Dogen's wonderful, huge, massive work, the Shobogenzo, which is kind of hard to understand, actually. The Shobogenzo is hard to understand. It's written in the 13th century, in a different culture, different time. But this is a kind of a distillation of some of his main points. Do I always sound like this? Okay. It's a distillation of some of his main points in a way that we can understand, very simple teaching for most of it. That's really, thank you. That's really accessible. We can understand it, you know, practice gratitude, practice generosity, benevolence, and so forth. We can understand that. The Shobogenzo is kind of harder to penetrate. So, but there's one little bit in the Shushogi that I'd like to talk about today. One little sentence, part of a sentence even. Our daily life should be spent constantly in selfless activity with no waste of time whatsoever. You can think, oh goodness, it sounds as though we should be running around all day doing good, looking for things to do that are good, helping, looking for people to help, being endlessly busy, never, looking for things to do. And it's not that. It's not just being busy or trying to be a helpful person. And yes, most of us do seem to live busy lives. Even if we're retired, often people who are retired are working harder than they were when they were working, doing more, because they're helping beings. The internet, social media and so on, never a dull minute. We can be constantly checking our phone to see who's calling us, texting us, or what might be happening in the news, or whatever it might be that we do. Something calling for our immediate attention, you know. And it can seem as though doing nothing is like falling into some horrible void. I'm not doing anything. I should be doing something. I should be improving the shining hour, always doing something. But no, it's not that. So what is selfless activity? Well, selflessness isn't just thinking about other people all the time, never a thought for ourselves. And it's not thinking about ourselves all the time. Our endless self-partiality, which all of us have. We all have self-partiality. We all, you know, I'm the most important person in my life, generally, you know. It's hard to, you can't really pretend it's not the case. We all have our self-partiality. We're concerned about our own health, our own body and mind, and our own welfare, you know, and that's normal. But if we're constantly wrapped up in ourselves, our feelings, our thoughts, our emotions, what's happening to me, you know, our concerns, then we cut ourselves off, or we can cut ourselves off from everybody else. This is me and my universe, and everybody else is kind of out there, you know. So we try to work on our self-partiality and not just make that the center of our life. Our selfishness, actually, self-partiality is just a nicer name for selfishness. We all have selfishness. And a large part of our practice is seeing our selfishness for what it is and letting it go. Doesn't mean you're throwing something away, doesn't mean you're getting rid of something, you're just relinquishing the grip. And in order to do this, we practice stillness within our activity. It's said there are two aspects to training. There's stillness within activity and activity within stillness. And I'll explain a bit what that means, but I think it's essential to understanding selfless activity. So stillness within activity is the practice of mindfulness in daily life. Trying to be still and present right in this moment. And it's what we're trying to practice when we're working or doing other things, both in our daily life and in all times, actually. Because most of our daily life is spent in doing something. We're always doing something. We're human doings rather than human beings, as they say. And if we can try to practice stillness and meditation at all times, and not just when we're sitting in formal meditation, that is our stillness within activity. Well, how is the stillness selfless, selfless activity? Well, when you're trying to be mindful, aware of what we're doing, and also aware of what's going on in our mind, seeing the thoughts coming and going, and trying not to get too caught up in them, then we're working on our selfishness on a number of levels. We're trying to pay attention to what we're doing, to the people around us, to our effect on our actions and our speech have on people, you know. If we're rushing about or flinging things around, or making too much, just, you know, being frantic, then we can make other people nervous, we worry them. If we're just lost in a daydream or stuck endlessly on our cell phone, you know, oblivious to everybody else, well, then we're not exactly being selfless. So we're trying to pay attention to what we're doing, you know. Trying to pay attention to our thoughts and feelings. Notice that they're there, not always feed them, you know. If I'm in a bad temper, and I don't notice that I'm getting crabby and irritable, then I might take it out on somebody else because I'm not really paying attention. But if I'm aware that I'm a bit crabby and in a bad mood or something, that I can be careful and mindful. Keep quiet if I can't be nice. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything. You know? And I can stop blaming other people for my bad temper, which is actually life-changing. Not because somebody did something to me. Actually, I'm in a bad mood, you know. And we take responsibility for it and know that it's not somebody else's fault. I have to deal with it myself. No matter what somebody else may be doing, if I get crabby, I've chosen to be crabby. Doesn't mean I've chosen that the crabby thought arises in the mind, but I've chosen to go with it, to feed it, and to maybe act on it. And we don't have to do that. We can, but if we can see it coming, notice that we're in a bit of a bad mood, or see something is really find irritating, just be quiet, don't say anything, just wait a minute. You know, before you lash out or get mad at something, we have chosen to get upset if we get upset. And that's a very important aspect because we actually have control over what we do and say. And to some extent, what we entertain in our, well, to a lot of extent, what we entertain in our mind. And it's easy to lose sight of that in the heat of the moment. If we're upset or afraid or whatever, we can forget that actually we still have a choice. If we can remember that we're responsible for what we do and say and think, this helps tremendously. It doesn't mean we don't have angry thoughts or fearful thoughts or greedy thoughts arise. It means we notice them and we don't feed them. We try to let them die, let them go, not just feed them. And that really does help. Selfless activity, practicing the precepts. You know? In a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate our annual Jukai, giving of the precepts for the week, for those who want to take them. You don't have to be a special person to take the precepts. You don't have to be able to guarantee that you'll keep them forever and never break one, because we always, all of us are imperfect and we make mistakes. You just have to want to take the precepts and to have some idea of what that means. The precepts are mostly about how we treat other beings. Don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, and so forth. They are how a Buddha lives and behaves. And to keep the precepts is to practice letting go of the self. Buddhas are beings that have no selfishness left. You know, they're the conduct of Buddhas. How does a Buddha behave? Buddhas don't lie and steal and cheat people. To let go of the self. Seeing when we're about to grab something or say something that's not completely true or speak against another person, you know, even on subtle levels, just thinking, you know, cultivating or nourishing an angry thought or judgmental thought about somebody, that's really not quite keeping to the precepts. And although these things arise, and we don't have to feed them. So to see our actions in terms of the precepts is actually a form of, it is selfless activity, just trying to do things in ways that don't hurt other beings, you know. And if we can't remember all the 10 precepts, we can usually remember the 3 pure precepts: cease from evil, do only good, do good for others. Remembering that evil is that which causes suffering to myself or to other beings. It's not a good and evil thing, it's just what causes suffering. And so keeping the precepts is stillness within activity, paying attention to what we're doing, to see when we're about to break a precept, or when you've just broken one, to make amends if we can, to apologize, to stop and see, oh, that's why I don't feel so good. I just said something a little unkind about somebody, or I just did something that wasn't quite right, you know. Really, really helpful. So, selfless activity, doing the thing that needs to be done. Not worrying about whether we like doing it or not. Just doing it without making a big judgment out of it. Often we seem to have lots of time for the things we really like to do, and not a whole lot left over for the things we don't like to do. We don't like cleaning, our house is a mess, oh, I'll do it later, and then it becomes a huge project and we don't want to do it. But if you keep up with it, it's not so bad. Or if you have got a huge mess, just to do it and not have that resisting, grudging little like cleaning. Just do it, and actually it can be quite pleasant, and you end up with a clean house, heaven's sake. And you feel much better than if you just keep letting it slide, or you do it with a sort of resentful or grudging heart. Because doing anything, if we have this grudging resistance, it's really exhausting. You wear yourself out, you know. And just doing it, it's not such a big deal. Acceptance and willingness, really helpful. Just to do what's needed. Not worrying about looking good. I am being selfless. I'm helping other people, you know. That's not selfless activity. Or having an agenda. If I do this for this person, or they'll do something for me, or they'll like me, or they'll think well of me. I'll be able, you know, not selfless activity. And this little thing, selfless activity says, with no waste of time whatsoever. No waste of time. If we're trying to practice mindfulness and pay attention, we're not wasting our time no matter what we're doing. Even if we're doing it slowly, we're doing something it turns out we don't need to do. If we're paying attention and doing our best with it, we're not wasting our time. Not being too caught up in the results, you know. How is this going to end up well? Is it going to be a good thing? Is it going to work out well? We don't always know. Sometimes we make a complete mess of it. But if we're doing our best and trying to pay attention, we're not wasting our time, no matter what it may appear to be. But if we're just rushing through a job trying to get it done, so we can go in and do something else, well, then we are wasting time. No matter how quickly we may do it, we're just rushing through something, and we're not actually paying attention, thinking about what we're going to do next. I'll get my, do this boring job, then I go away and rest or do something nice, you know. Well, it's sad because we're actually losing something there. This moment of just doing what needs to be done now, washing the dishes. It's fine to wash the dishes, you know. But when you're really busy, it's easy to forget this. We get all caught up in getting the job done. And so we can stop worrying and relax. Well, you know, better just to do what needs to be done and not worry too much about what, you know, what might happen or what we can do next. Well, busyness, as I said, most of us lead pretty busy lives, more than we'd like, probably. We have too much to do, we feel we have too much to do, and this can appear as an obstacle to our training. If only I had more time to meditate, to sit still, to go on retreat, to do the thing I really like to do, to pacify my mind, to work on my training, deal with my anger and despair and fear and all that. So how do we make our busyness a vehicle for training rather than some kind of obstacle? Well, first, if we can accept the situation, I have this stuff I need to do, it's fine. Or, this is my life. I have a lot to do. If we don't resist it and we use it, then we can use it to the good by paying attention to what we're doing. You know? To be present with whatever we're doing now. Not always thinking about doing something else. But just being as mindful and present as we can in this moment, right now, right in the middle of it, aware of what's going on, both within what we're doing and saying and within our mind, and what's going on around us also. We're not living in a vacuum of little busy little bee with nothing else happening. We interact with other people all the time. Just being paying attention to other people, other beings. How are they doing? How am I affecting them? Can I help? You know, is there something I can do? But we're not just saying, I want to be a helping person, but what is needed here? It's a different attitude rather than, how can I be a helpful person? What's needed? Maybe nothing is needed. Maybe it's nice if somebody else does the helpful thing, you know? Somebody else can rise to the occasion, use that opportunity to do something good. It doesn't have to be us. Patience. Patience with the little things we have to do. Even when it seems like I spend all day doing the little things and I can't get to the big thing or the important thing or the thing I really want to do, you know? Just to be patient with all those things. Sitting still, right in the middle of it all, as best we can. Whether it's a big thing, a little thing we're doing, or whatever it might be. If some feeling is arising, just try to notice it before we get dragged off by it. Just allow it to be there, and don't feed it, and don't push it away, as we say. Don't hold on, don't push away, just let things come and go. Easy to say, not always easy to do. But right in the midst of busyness, we can do that, just to keep coming back. Oh, right, this is what I need to be doing. Not just doing the thing, you know, that it's so easy to get completely caught up in the thing we're trying to deal with, and completely not notice that we're actually being tiresome, bossy, over-directive, or whatever it might be. No, just, you know, trying to get stuff done and driving people crazy. just notice our effect on other people, their effect on us. Just to notice that we actually are part of the great, a much bigger thing than just me and my little thing. When we feel really pressed and it's really, really busy, sometimes we just have to remember that eventually it will pass. It won't always be this way. There will come an end to, you know, this busyness if we're lucky. And if it seems like we're constantly too busy, maybe we need to make a change. Do I have to be like, does it always have to be this way? Do I really have to do these 4,000 things, you know? Am I the only person who can do them? Sometimes we think we are. If you want thing, you know, if a thing's worth doing, well, if you want something done well, do it yourself. That's what I'm going to say. Well, it's not the case. Other people can do things well too. We don't have to do everything ourselves. Not making a big distinction between doing what we like and what we don't, doing what we don't like, as I said, a big distinction between work and rest or play, you know. I'm working now, so I can't, you know, but later I get to rest and do something else, something I really like to do. But then we're missing this moment right now, which can help us to just pay attention, practice patience and stillness, do our best. Being present as wholeheartedly and brightly as we can. And then we're using our time well. If we're doing that, trying to be present, pay attention to us, what we are doing, to what other people around us are doing, how they are, then we're using our time well. We're not wasting it. No matter what we're doing, whether we're working or resting or practicing meditation or going out for a hike or watching a movie or talking with our friends, whatever, we're not wasting our time. And so when we're doing this, trying to practice mindfulness and acceptance and stillness in whatever we do, this is selfless activity, because we're working on our selfishness. Try not to get caught up in our greed, anger, fear, and so forth. We try to see them coming. You know, do I really want to follow this train of thought? Do I really need to do this? Do I really want to do? Not really. Maybe not. No. Maybe I will let it go. Well, that's all stillness within activity, and I will not wax further about it because I could go on and on. But what about activity within stillness? That's the other side of it. Well, great Master Dogen, who wrote the Shobogenzo I talked about, he was also a great advocate a formal seated meditation. So he didn't want people just rushing around all day. He wrote several works about it. He talked about meditation, formal meditation, a lot. And as you know, it's a large part of our practice, doing seated meditation as well as doing things in the daily life. So clearly, seated meditation is included in this selfless activity, spending our time constantly in selfless activity with no waste of time whatsoever. How is our meditation practice selfless activity? To somebody who doesn't do it, it can look a lot like self-centered inactivity. You're just sitting there, you know, navel-gazing, you know. Well, we know that meditation is definitely active when we're trying to do it properly. We may get distracted, but we come back. We may get, you know, sleepy, we try to stay awake. It's dynamic and focused. And it takes a lot of effort and energy, as best we can. We don't do it perfectly, but we try to do that. We try to put everything we can into it. And this is activity within stillness. Well, yes, okay, but how is that selfless? What is selfless about doing my meditation practice? Well, we're trying to sit still and watch our mind. And when we see the self arise, which it does, we see our self-centered thoughts arise, which they do, we try to let them go, moment after moment, to recognize them. Ah, there's a little crabby little thought. I think I can just let the one go by. Yeah? Just come back to sitting. Trying to let go of our view of being a separate self, a me, that has to be cherished, protected, a me that's the center of the universe. You know, me. Everything's about me. Has to be looked after, protected, given what it wants, you know. But this is not really the case. We are just part of a whole, and if we sit in meditation, we can see better that actually we're just a part of something much bigger than ourself. We're not something special. We're not the center of the universe. We're just another being. Actually, it's a huge relief. And how does that help other beings? Well, we can't change the whole world, but we can change ourselves, as we often say. We're trying to deal with our own selfishness, our own greed and anger and delusion, and there's so much of it in the world. If I can do something about myself and not be greedy and angry and dump it on other people, to stop creating suffering for ourselves and other beings, we can only help. And that kind of spreads out too. When we're kind, other people tend to be more kind. If we're crabby and mean, other people tend to be crabby and mean around us. And it kind of, I think, and even beings we never see or never have any contact with, it again spreads out in unseen, intangible ways, because we're all connected, all beings. We're all one body. All our disparate little beings, all different, and yet we're all part of one body. And it's so helpful to come back to that and to remember that and to try to live more from that than from me, who has to have what they need and what they want and keep them all, you know, keep all the bad people away. It's to just see that we're just part of everything, actually. To live from that is so much more helpful, actually, and that is part of our selfless activity. Because our training and our sitting in meditation or our daily training benefits all beings, because we're all connected, nothing separate. As I said, none of us is a separate being, unaffected by everybody else. We affect other people, they affect us. And to see that and to live from that more than just me, you know, is really very helpful. It's helped us, it's the way we stop creating suffering. And deeper than that, when we meditate, do our formal meditation or in daily life, we're turning towards something greater than we are, that which we're all part of, Buddha nature, which is much deeper and much bigger than me, than any of us, even all of us. Letting go of that me, that self-partiality, turning towards the great matter, Buddha nature, whatever we want to call it, trying to harmonize ourselves with that. That's what we're doing when we meditate. We're trying to live in harmony with the great matter for which we train, that which helps us to keep to the precepts, that which is the keeping of the precepts, that which is the stillness underneath all the busyness of our life. The depth of the ocean is still, even when there's great storms and waves upon its surface. That deep stillness within that we all have access to sit still in the midst of all activity, in the midst of our meditation, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of everything that happens, fear, the things that, what, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in our life, kind of thing. There's so many uncertainties in our life. But to sit still beneath all that as best we can, within all that, is immeasurably helpful. Coming back to that, harmonizing with that as best we can, turning towards it whenever we remember, there's something bigger than me. When we're worried or something is going on that we would rather was not, there's something beneath all of this. Something that sustains us through everything, thick and thin, no matter what. And to keep coming back to that, you know, entrusting ourselves to it in all the conditions of our lives. And that is our selfless activity. That's our talk for the day. Thank you.